Right, we're recording now. Okay, then.
Should we lean in, then?
No, you don't need to lean in. No, we don't need to explain either. So is this informal? Like, another podcast. What day are we at now?
Friday the 13th.
Well, there's a good...
Lucky for some.
It's, yes, I've never really been a big believer in this, but it seems to have happened a lot this year. Mm, I've had two or three Friday the 13th.
Have you?
Yes.
I haven't. Yeah. That's interesting.
Why is that? Right. Anyway, we better explain who's here today. So James Turnbull and Jane?
Jane Turnbull.
Sorry, we're not doing
Dr. Jane. Dr.
Jane Turnbull. Right, okay. Excellent. We're in Hathersage, as is our want, in the car park.
At outside.
In the glamorous locations.
In the glamorous locations. We go lots of interesting locations, but...
And the sun's out.
And the sun is out. Well, it feels like spring, doesn't it?
I know, yes. Worrying, isn't it?
Global warm.
And yesterday I was in the snow. I was driving it late on in the snow.
Nice. Where was that?
North Yorkshire. Middlesbrough. It was like Armageddon. It was weird. Anyway, talking about Armageddon. Mm. I think we've got something to talk about, isn't it?
Yes.
Right then, over to you guys.
Okay.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, you asked us to do a podcast on whatever we wanted. It could be products or what we're up to and things like that. And our instant thought was what everyone's, you know, interested in these days and what we're doing behind the scenes that everyone knows about for the environment and things like that. And how we're trying to reduce our carbon and recycle stuff and all the normal things. But there's more going on than meets the eye, I think, and it'd be nice for people to know about it. And that's why Jane's here, because Jane's the person who actually knows about it. We can bang on about whatever we want, but Jane knows the stats. So I think you should tell why what your job is and why you were
What kind of lead is in there? So if we're talking about the shop here, we're talking about...
Sorry,
retail,
yeah, the shop. Just, yeah, right, what okay, we're doing, we're trying to push our brands to do as well at outside. Yeah.
Okay, right.
Trying to put pressure on our brands to do the same, i.e. say, use recycled products, do it in an eco way, shipping things to us, maybe not in so much plastic or as an environmental friendly way. All things we'll try and cover a bit more detail soon, but even we were just discussing about encouraging staff to get to work in greener ways, with bonuses behind that. Jane's worked out our carbon footprint, now we're going to try and reduce that and probably offset it as well. To try in the future to make us carbon neutral, hopefully pretty soon. But again, this is sort of why Jane's here, to try and keep you
carbon neutral very soon. I think is a
big plan.
It's a big project. I think it's a long, long, long way in the future. But we will start with the intent that we want to measuring, mm-hmm. measuring our carbon output.
So how are you doing that then? What's the?
There are. Number of carbon footprint calculators that are available online, and there are companies that'll help you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There are some good ones. So we've used MyClimate, and they are available for your home. You can do you can measure your carbon footprint for you as a person and as a family, or we've looked at one from a business perspective. So obviously they're quite different. So.
Yeah, so I can say there's a very different approach to it then, right?
Okay. So the first step is to measure, get a really good understanding of where the majority of your carbon's coming from. Then look at reducing, and then when you've really reduced us, because that's the key, you know, offsetting is one thing, but actually we need to all be looking at producing far less carbon.
Yeah. There's a big argument against offsetting, isn't there? Go on, you explain to me from a retail point of view.
From a retail perspective, it's getting it, it's getting it down as much as possible. But we recognise as an industry, the outdoor industry is, you know, we rely, we are in this industry because we're all passionate outdoor people. We like spending our time in the outdoors, and without a beautiful outdoor space, our business is in big trouble. And that's before we even get to the wider global issue.
Yeah.
We all need to be doing an awful lot more, but we recognise we're in a tricky position. But we really, really need to be doing more as an industry.
Right.
Industries, making sure that the Peak District in particular, just if we're going to talk locally, we need to look after this space.
Yes, I agree
so,
with that.
So offsetting is one thing, but really, we need to start by getting it down.
Key, isn't it?
So, and for for a business within, when we talk about sustainability and CSR, we want to make sure that it runs through our entire business. We start by wanting to be a sustainable business.
Okay.
And that then influences our choices. And James and Rob have been, poor Rob, he doesn't get a choice because he gets it in here all, we're at home all the time.
Right.
But James has been really leading the charge on, also backing that up and actually has been really instrumental in making most of the changes within the shop.
Oh.
And so, the decisions we make as a company, we start with, is this the most environmentally friendly way that we can do it?
Right, okay.
And that's the way, you can pick and choose, oh, let's reduce plastic, great. Any of the other initiatives you can think of. But actually, you want to make real change, you make it systemic.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I just want to say something quickly, just people who are listening who might not know that Outside is a family-run business, and at the moment it's run basically by me and my brother, Rob, who took it on second generation, 33 years old. Jane was just saying how she gives Rob a hard time, because obviously she's not my wife, she's my brother's wife. And so he's at home getting a hard time from Jane about to
sustainability.
Do. And so it's great having Jane on board, because we can bang on about all the time that we want to be more eco, but actually without Jane, I'm not sure we'd know how to do it very well.
It's my...
So often we're ahead of the curve, because Jane's...
I'm learning.
..so clued up on everything.
Right.
Doing it properly instead of just saying, oh, great, let's get paper bags. And it's like, actually, paper bags aren't the answer to the world, because they produce more carbon than plastic bags, and blah, blah, blah. No bags is best, and...
You have a plan, obviously.
Well, we're formulating a plan.
Right.
So this is actually in quite early stages. We started probably 18 months ago. Again, probably with the little changes here and there, and now we're looking at it as a more systemic policy throughout the company. So
we've done quite a few things. Right?
We've done a lot
LED
of things.
LED lighting all through.
So, what's been the most effective thing, or what's the most surprising, or how have you approached that?
Well, I think
you've mentioned the LED lights,
but the LED lights are, according
actually,
to Jane,
yeah,
is
think,
an absolutely
real...
massive amount, and that's been done throughout. It's obviously cost quite a lot of money.
So you just replaced all the lighting, everything in the shop with LED.
I think we're 95% there now. There's another area to be done, but it's booked in. And down to more simple things where, we walked into the cafe and they went, this is stupid, we're selling bottled water,
yes.
The tap.
Yeah, yeah.
The cafe's been quite a big area. So one day I just went, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Sachets all gone. We use refillable bottles of, glass bottles.
Actually, the drinks,
And some other people sort of said, yeah, but did you not look how much money you were making from plastic bottles before you decided to?
They
said, no, it's
more
important than that. Because I spoke to someone else who should be doing it, and they said they thought, actually, they make too much money, so they're not. And it's like, okay, that's probably not.
So there's a mindset change there, isn't
there? Yeah, that's, again, systemic mindset change. There is a really solid business case for becoming, as I said, not only maintaining, ensuring that our environment is, kept as beautiful as possible. But as I said, the business, we won't be here as a business if we don't have nice places to go. But we also recognise that as an industry, the textile industry, the equipment industry are polluting industries. So again, when James talks about, working with our suppliers to improve best practice, on their side, that's
so could you go there, have you got like a something that if I was a supplier then I would
again I, that's it's in
it's for
it,
so
it is hard for us as a smaller industry because it come as a smaller retailer because our buying capacity and our ability to lobby in that way is
you don't think you've got that influence or
we're a tiny shop and
but we should all be
quite a big deal otherwise, which is nice, and we're quite good at making a loud noise, which is something I think we learned
from
my dad.
Turnbull's are great at making
a very
loud
heard
noise
about, Dick and I go back a long way still echoes, but
I think it's quite
and we've put even lots of small voice. Everybody needs to be shouting and asking. We as retailers, suppliers, we all need to be saying we need to do
you've
need to clean up our industry.
Yeah, But if you take it on, you know, scale it right back to you here, we've been talking about the Fringe and the Hope Valley and everything else. Mm. I mean, big fish in small ponds.
Yeah.
You could make a massive difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hugely, I would have thought, influential if you
went
out there telling people this is what you do.
We try to engage with the community. I mean, that's a big, that's a really big part of what we do at Outside, full stop, and sustainability aside. You know, we want to be, you know, engaged with the climbing community, but also our local community. We've, you know, we've definitely been trying to do more.
Crag cleanup we've been doing for something like 7 years now, where every year we encourage everyone to go and clean the crag, pick up litter and bring it back in. You get crag prizes.
BMC supported that as well, and a number of our brands have. Which brands have we
Patagonia the last few years, Wild Country sort of started with it. And that's quite a big deal now.
What, you started that off idea?
Yeah.
So that, well, there you are, there's influence. You don't need to be a big fish in a massive pond.
Another thing we're doing is in the pipeline, which is, if I'm honest, slightly annoying how long it's taking because we're delaying on, waiting on web editors to make it happen. We've got a thing set up called ethical benefits. So, or ethical choices, sorry. There's going to be a subcategory on the website where you can shop by sustainable or more sustainable sort of.
So you're putting
products.
A carbon footprint against the
ethical
choices. So
so if you're going to buy a waterproof jacket, we know this whole industry is a bit hypocritical because the best thing is to not produce anything, but people are still going to go into the outdoors and they still need the right gear to do it. So if you're deciding between two Vortex jackets, say, why not choose the one that's got the more recycled face fabric on it or uses PFC free.
But I should also say the, I mean,
just
we
to let people know how it is that it's actually on there.
Outside has always been from, if you want to take it back to a very, very simple level, before you make all those ethical choices, we've always promoted buying good quality gear that will last, because the most sustainable garment that you have is the one that you've got. But as James says, people will always need to, you know, to replace kit as it wears out. If you're getting out lots, then, you know, you will need it eventually. So we sell clothing and equipment that lasts and is the best possible quality that we can source. And we've always put that above everything else. And then if you're going to choose those garments, you can choose hopefully the new website will allow you to make a choice against, for example, does it meet certain industry standards? So responsible down standard, for example, would be a good one.
Traffic lights have jumped to mind.
Hmm.
I mean, the supermarkets have tried very hard. So is there an equivalent, or could you even start a
We're going to have,
trend off
there's going to be six categories now. Don't ask me to tell what they all are at the moment, because the first few were quite obvious, sort of what's recycled, PFC free or whatever, but the other ones I can't quite remember, they're written down, and they're going to be tick boxes more than anything. So we're going to have little recycled card swing tags, of course, on products in the shop as well, so you can walk in and see which of the six it ticks, whether it's one, none, all of them, things like that. So
would you rate it then?
I wouldn't give it a rating. Because not a rating. Just let
me,
because what some of these brands have been doing good deeds, as in like using recycled fill or whatever, but not always making it very clear that they've done that. So if you're just deciding between, say, two jackets and one's recycled and one isn't, it's not obvious.
It's also quite hard for the
more.
Consumer to navigate. There are a lot of these standards out there.
Yeah, well, this is
and
getting,
that's
yeah,
a
yeah.
big part for retailers. Their role in that is really, really key to help inform the consumer. And we recognise as an industry, it's a bit of a minefield. I mean, I come from a textile background rather than the sustainability side of something relatively new. But the field of standards is a... Really, I mean, down alone has multiple standards to tell you how ethically sourced the down is in your garment. So, yeah, the retailers have a really big part, and that's going to fall to me some staff training.
So it's an education process then.
Well, that's also, I mean, that's where Outside's also really excelled, is that the people on the shop floor.
yeah,
are not only passionate about the activities that they, you know, that they get involved in, so they can give you the best possible advice on the clothing that they're wearing,
yeah,
and the equipment that they're buying. But I mean, that is going to have to also, as we, you know, as we move down, you know, through this journey in sustainability, that that's something that we'll also be passing on to the standards, so to the staff.
Consumer. Yeah,
yeah, staff. The staff, but so that
you're,
that training.
You'll be the outside standards, right then?
No, no, not an outside standard, but our training, you know, we will make sure that our staff are as well educated as possible, yeah, okay, so that they can give that information, yeah, to the, okay, consumer,
so materials
to help them navigate though, you know, that field, okay, of you know, the standards that are out there. That are,
right, okay.
Yeah, because we try and encourage, like, a lot of our... annoyingly, actually, quite often, we end up talking customers out of buying a jacket by telling them to wash and reproof it. And you after go, oh, damn, what have I just done? But you can't help yourself, because that's just, you know, that's how it should be.
It's always been... honesty has, yeah, always, exactly, been, yeah, we're, you know, we'd far like rather that people go away with the best
telling people,
advice.
You don't need to buy this. It's, yeah, cringe at the end of the day when you might not take much money, but at the same time, it's...
It's more important that the customer comes away with the, you know, the writer...
Yeah, well, they'll come back for something else. I mean, this is always... But that's your customer-facing. It's a story that you tell.
The most important thing. Thing to us.
Yeah. Outside itself has got a pretty good story, I would have thought. I mean, to me,
so it feels like it.
No, it feels like, I think what I'm saying, this is being like being a big fish in a relatively small pond. Everybody, that's kind of what you're doing, encouraging that sort of idea. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you time these things, so just as going forward, then you've got these various ideas. So, what's the first thing you're going to do in 2020 that's going to headline or something.
The key thing is to get our sustainability and CSR strategy written into
CSR, just to be
corporate social responsibility.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And my husband jumps up and down on me about that all the time, using acronyms that nobody's ever heard of.
it's one of the things I've heard it all the time. I know what it means, but I couldn't necessarily tell you. Yeah. Right. Okay.
So that addresses aspects of labour, welfare, and as a business, what you should be doing,
right.
What your responsibilities are. So people are aware of, obviously, things like modern slavery, all of those drop into the field of corporate social responsibility.
And you pass that on to your, or you, how do you relate that to your suppliers, your customers?
Well, writing a code, writing your strategy, so what you're doing, what we're doing at the moment, what we've done, what we're doing, and then obviously what are our aims
are.
So is that something you want to make public? Or is
Yes, absolutely.
Right, okay.
Because the biggest thing,
James
the
talks,
biggest
transparency.
Thing, transparency. Yes. Well,
there's the word. Yeah,
it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, what you do.
As long as you're trying.
It's
trying.
It's putting out there what you are doing and then what you intend to, and and what you're not doing. It's okay to say what you're not doing. Yeah. That's fine. But if you're saying that we're aware of this and this is what we want to, you know, that this is what we're aiming towards, you know, transparency is... is the key.
I think having it written all down will help everyone.
Well,
realize
just reminds me all the time.
For stuff it can be quite tricky. So we're trying to be eco. What does that mean? Put the plastic in the recycling, and it's a lot more than that. I mean, going down that route, we had a really lovely email today this week, didn't we, from people who pick up all our waste, peak waste. So big promotion to them as well.
Okay.
Because they promise
peak waste. I've seen them.
They promise nothing to landfill.
But we've been phoning them to find out
that mean? That's great. We're really pleased you're doing that, because we've been trying to recycle really well for many years, of course. Mm. But it's hard and you don't know where it's going to go. So we had a really lovely email explaining where everything actually went, and they do nothing to landfill. I don't want to go into the situation where everything goes right now, because it's, again,
if
a lot of
people phone them,
don't
look sure
on their website.
Again, that would be something that if it was, you know, just...
Exactly.
The trouble with a lot of sustainability things is that, you know, it's quite easy to do... to take things at face value, but you have to unpick all the way along and check that everything, again, absolutely. That goes back to transparency. So again, asking those questions, when you say zero to landfill, what does that actually mean?
So we've got a nice email from them, Jamie replied saying, come on, I want to know more. They had to email back again, explaining, which was brilliant.
I thought they gave the pressure the explanation the first time around. But
I thought just saying you went to not to landfill is fine. And, but no, they had good replies and it all made sense.
Because these sort of little stories about, you know, they are little stories, but they all resonate with customers.
Yeah.
Is what I'm getting
up.
At.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the first time I've heard, you know, yours about, I mean, you know, what do you call it? Zero to landfill.
Mm.
There's a phrase.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of think I understand it.
Yeah, yeah. But
so these peak What did you call them?
Peak waste.
Peak waste. I've seen that van.
In
Yeah. A lot of people.
So they've, you know, they're selling the idea that, you know, the Peak District. I mean, it's targeted at this area, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Well, they are Peak. Yeah. They're in Buxton.
Ashbourne.
Ashbourne.
Ashbourne. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. So they have a target. So I'm getting at is that you have a very, you know, an opportunity. I keep going back to my big fish and the small pond thing, really.
Yeah, but we're trying as Peak District based with everything, you know. Yeah. Food from the cafe comes from the butchers, and they walk up the road and hand it to us. It's great,
right?
Things like that, and even encourage them to.
I don't even know it in the cafe. Does it say locally sourced food on the front?
Yes,
does it?
Not in massive, but it's written there. It is written. Yeah,
make it bigger.
Well, yeah, it does. Yeah. You don't want to like. Well, I think the other thing is you don't want to ram it down everyone's throats. If let people can. If you're interested, it's there.
And yes,
you don't want to tell the whole world that. People should know
it's a subtle thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nobody wants
to. But it's back
to
your transparency thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's
making the information available, but again, I think James is right. Nobody wants it. It's not greenwashing, but nobody wants it.
I think you go over the top, you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think absolutely. Yeah.
And there's a balance then that
you need
balance.
To. Well, and again, it goes back to it just should be being done.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, if you're having to trumpet about it to get your business moving, then I think you've got issues. Yeah. It just should be being done.
Right. I must admit, I would expect this sort of business to do that.
Exactly.
So but I've also
how it should be in a few years, we shouldn't be even having to share. It just should be, you know, we shouldn't be shouting about this in a few, you know, it just should be the way it is.
Well, one of our biggest brands we use, who the most sustainable, think they're the most sustainable anyway, at least, that their theory is that we've got 2 years basically of nearly using sustainability as like marketing. They don't even like the word sustainability. It's like, because after 2 years everyone will expect it to be the standard.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even have to ask, because it is recycled.
Yeah.
And
that's just the way it should
be. Are we at the beginning of that 2 year though?
We're well into that.
Okay.
Yeah. And after that, like, you know, most of our brands next year, the clothing's recycled, like,
okay,
and we're certainly not selecting it. You know, it's quite an obvious choice whether, these two products are really good, that one's probably more popular, but it's not recycled, would sell more of it, would make more money, but we are not going to sell it. Didn't choose to do that. And it was it really shook open to, the biggest outdoor company in the world. This was our reply to them: we're not going to stock your products, it's not recycled. It's like, this little tiny shop in the Peak District is suddenly not going to arrange a lot of stuff from us because we're not recycled. So.
That's a great message. Yeah. So, and things will change, and you will expect it as an outdoor person or anything else.
Another thing I'd like to mention is from just saying looking at the environment type of thing. Like, obviously, people sort of, your business is doing well. I've been here 30 years or whatever, and we can bang on about how great we are and the products are all that and the staff. But in reality, I think we've got to note that it's because we're in the Peak District, which is a brilliant place to be, and lucky mum found this place 33 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But so we've started doing recently a different project we haven't really got a name for, where one day a month we're sending a member of staff to help out with Peak District good causes, whatever they may be. So like 2 weeks ago, we sent Freddie to go and help with the Peak District National Park, and they rebuilt a bridge together. So we paid Freddie to do this, and the guy came back and he was amazing. Can we have him again? You know,
right.
And they did 3 days worth of work in a day because Freddie was there. And near Chatsworth. I've seen the pictures. It's lovely.
It's a bridge.
Yeah.
It's building
a bridge. Yeah, but it was like a passable
pedestrian bridge. Right?
Yeah, for walkers.
For walkers.
Yeah. Yeah. People were probably having to skirt it and go elsewhere and wade a stream and stuff because it was rickety and falling down.
Yeah,
and it's perfectly restored now and really good.
Stone?
And so, no, it's wood. It's wood. Yeah.
Okay.
Who was it with?
Tom from Peak District East. National Park Operates. Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
And they were really chuffed. And so we're going to do things like that every month. And we're going to try our best to sort of work with Moors for the Future quite a lot, because they're being really good at the carbon thing, apparently. Well, Jane will have to explain more, but they're apparently
Sphagnum moss.
Oh, yes.
I've been reliably told sphagnum moss is a fabulous... carbon sink.
Yeah, right.
Almost better, I believe, than trees. So we are Well, those are the
things. When we look at carbon offsetting, we'll probably try and support more for the future instead of giving a big, you know, multi-global brand or corporation.
Well, paying an offsetting company to part. The thing with offsetting projects is there's lots of different projects that you can look to support, and you pay by the ton for your carbon. But I think we will look at. We'll probably work out what our. The cost of our carbon is, and we will donate that money to Moors for the Future instead of probably a standard offsetting project, just because it's local. We believe in the science of.
We can go see what they do with it,
and we can volunteer with it. We can engage really strongly.
We need to be careful keep saying volunteering, because we told all our staff we're going to volunteer someone one day a month. And they all presumed they weren't going to get paid. We had to explain, you're still getting paid.
Right.
Just that the company, won't have to pay for your work.
No, right.
So, we're the ones who are sucking up that, because it matters.
Well, I think this is a very important message, isn't it? I mean, I know you probably don't want to sort of go right over the top, but I think a lot of people take a lot of effort to hear that message.
We're definitely trying to let people know, certainly
the Peter Institute. I mean, you've got climbers and everybody, you know, I've got people that come here,
but there's a huge amount of research that that indicates, you know, the more you get people engaged with their natural environment, whether or not it's you know, even if it's just getting out into the countryside or going for a walk or a climb, the more that people engage with their environment, the more they understand and appreciate it, and the more that they are likely to engage with the concept of sustainability and environmentalism and conservation become, you know, that engagement really, really has a big beneficial impact on society as a whole. But so, you know, for our staff, if we can get them engaged in project, you know, those sort of volunteering projects are really, you know, a big part of that.
Well, the staff were really motivated as well. Freddie actually went back and finished the job the next day. He stood there thanking us, and we're like, thank you. And then he went back and said, his day off the next day, so he's on finishing for a couple of hours.
That's fantastic.
This guy Tom was literally praising him so much. So, Freddie, if you ever listen to this, well done.
You're not getting a pay rise, but you'll be.
The funny thing about this was, it only happened last night, but you'll know about this, the power of social media. So, the Peak District National Park Authority actually posted on their Facebook yesterday thanking us very much, and they tagged the wrong outside shop in it. So this shop in Brazil is currently getting a lot of thanks and hundreds of shares to say well done for building a bridge in the Peak District. We've had nothing.
I've messaged them,
but they've not replied. I'm going to have to phone them today. But I've been talking to you all morning. So. But it's a bit kind of cringe going, oh well. But we did decide the whole point is not just to try and get this for people to pat us on the back and say well done. We want to tell people we're doing it, but it's not the point.
It's inspiring our staff. It's connecting to the community. All of that, absolutely.
So we're not going to lose too much sleep if we don't get the thanks enough, because it's not about getting thanks. It's about looking after Peter Street, which we need to thank for 30 years of.
Brilliant times.
Well, that's it.
We're all in this industry because I applied for a job here because I wanted to go, you know, climbing and meet other people, and I was really into the outdoor clothing side of things and the textiles.
And we were a family member. There you are.
Yeah. Brought in. I struggle every time I come back to the Peak District. To think, why would I go anywhere else?
I know, it's hard, isn't it?
You've just been to Scotland, haven't you?
Yeah.
We hate leaving Scotland, but then we arrive back here and we're like, oh, well, it's fine.
Yeah, I know. I've done exactly the same thing. Yeah. I had a week where it was horrendous and great at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Very Scottish.
Type 2.
But then, you know, you come back here and you've virtually got the same things, you know, in a different way. Well, it's great. It's excitement. So.
I always think it's accessible outdoors, isn't it? It's just friendly, easy outdoors.
Well, you and I know that we run from home.
Yes,
10 minutes, and you're in the Peak District, aren't you?
Yeah, well, like that,
But that's why it's really important to
big hill days, isn't it? Whereas here, you can have an hour after work, and all of a sudden, you've had a good.
That is one thing that needs sorting out around here.
It's just recording. It is recording. But I'm just trying to look at the time.
Time, yes.
It's half an hour already.
Okay.
Oh, well, isn't it? Yeah, it was cool.
I think you were. But this the idea of these things is going to follow things up, and we're doing no editing, nothing. It'll just go out.
Okay.
So I'll do it, but I do need a photograph. Anyway, thanks for that.
No worries.
Great.
Absolute pleasure.
Good stuff.
Well,
okay then. Right.
Tell everyone to just carry on thinking themselves about what they can do.
What they can do to help.
Yeah. I mean, all the small things like, well, that's why we're not stuck in any plastic
transport.
Brushes
the Peak
anymore.
District. The Peak District needs to work on transport.
Yeah.
That's my big shout out is to the to the Peak Park. We need more sustainable access solutions for the Peak District.
You know the Rising Sun Hotel
down
the road here.
Yeah.
That just got the planning permission and everything else. Yeah. We had one of the podcasters there with John Scott.
Yeah. Okay.
I said that they should be looking at no car hotels. Because you could put an electric van that takes you from the stations. Yep. And the stations are all really good.
Yep.
I know the timetabling is maybe iffy, but it's going to be better.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure to get people in here, but without the cars.
Yep.
And there's so many different solutions.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's
another podcast for another time. That's something I'm very passionate about.
Excellent. Right, well, I'm sure that's going to resonate. Cheerio. Thank you very much.